කල් තැබීම
19 වෙනි බ්‍රහස්පතින්දා පෙරවරු 10 30 දක්වා සභාව කල් තැබිය යුතුයි යෝජනා කරන්නේ.
කල් තැබීමේ යෝජනාව අනුව සම්බන්ධයෙන් to make the agenda motion.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Speaker. If I might commence by reading my motion. This motion, sir, pertains substantially to persons held in custody from the North and the East under the Prevention of Terrorism Act. The facts are as follows. These persons are held in custody under the Prevention of Terrorism Law, irrespective of whether they have been convicted, have been charged, or have not yet been charged. They have been arrested under the Prevention of Terrorism Law, and all action taken against them has been in terms of that law. It has been accepted by the Sri Lankan state, both domestically and internationally, that the said Prevention of Terrorism Law is draconian, obnoxious, and should therefore be regarded as obsolete. The Sri Lankan state has made several commitments, both domestically and internationally, that the said law will be repealed and that a new law will be enacted in keeping with acceptable domestic and international norms. The Sri Lankan state is yet to fulfill this commitment, but that does not derogate from the Sri Lankan state's commitment that the said law should not remain on the statute book. The only evidence available against most of these persons are confessions extracted from them against their will under the Prevention of Terrorism Law, which would be inadmissible against them in a normal court of law. Many of the cases have been postponed because the prosecution is not ready to proceed with the cases. Almost all of them have been in custody for very long periods of time, for as long as they would have been sentenced if sentence was passed on them shortly after being taken to custody. The families of these persons in custody have suffered for very long periods of time without the support of their breadwinners. This vitally important factor has not been given due consideration. Quite apart from the pernicious nature of the Prevention of Terrorism Law, persons in similar situations, such as persons taken into custody during the insurrections of the JVP, have been granted an amnesty and released. It is not understood why the same principle cannot be applied in regard to these prisoners. These cases cannot be considered as coming purely under the purview of the Attorney General's Department. With due respect to the Attorney General, as the Chief Legal Advisor of the state, these cases have a certain political dimension and cannot be addressed on a purely legal basis. It can be justifiably stated that if Sri Lanka's national question had been reasonably addressed in time, many of the persons in custody would not have been in their present position and would have been useful citizens. This circumstance makes it obligatory that you address this issue politically too. It should not be addressed politically. It is a strong impediment to reconciliation and restoration of goodwill and harmony. An unnecessary complication has been created by the transfer of some cases from Babunia to Anuradhapura. If witness needed protection, such protection could have been provided without the cases being transferred. accused in the cases to be transferred from Babunia to Babunia, from Babunia, where the language of the court is Tamil, to Anuradhapura, where the language of the court is Singhala, are from the northeast and are Tamil speaking and not proficient in Singhala, the other language of administration and courts. Their cases being transferred to Anuradhapura, where the language of the court is Singhala, is a denial of their constitutional right to have their cases heard in Tamil, a language which they can understand. In a criminal prosecution, the rights of an accused person are fundamental. He has a right to fully comprehend the evidence and the case presented against him. By such transfer, the accused also denied the opportunity and the right to legal assistance of his choice. These and other factors could prejudice a fair trial. The proposed transfer reflects a measure of insensitivity to the fundamental rights of an accused person. The prisoners have been continuously carrying on a fast against such transfer. The situation needs to be addressed on an urgent basis. I have to also very strongly urge that for the reasons stated above, all these prisoners be released without any further delay. Mr. Deputy Speaker, if I might say a few words in regard to this motion. The main points of the adjournment motion, sir, are all these persons, whether convicted, prosecuted or not prosecuted, have been dealt with under the Prevention of Terrorism Law. They have been arrested, investigated, charged, and trial proceedings conducted, and convicted under the Prevention of Terrorism Law, which the government itself admits must be repealed because its provisions are such as to raise the question whether such provisions can ensure justice. The law is to be repealed for the reason that the implementation of various obnoxious provisions in the law can only result in injustice and not justice. This is the primary reason for the government wanting to repeal the law. This is the reason for my submission that all these persons must be released. Whatever the stage of the cases against him may be. I might read to you, Honour Sir, the commitment made by the government and the United Nations Human Rights Council in the resolution adopted on the 1st of October 2015. The resolution states that the United Nations Human Rights Council welcomes the commitment of the government of Sri Lanka to review the Public Security Ordinance Act and to review and repeal the Prevention of Terrorism Act and to replace it with an anti-terrorism legislation in accordance with contemporary international best practices. That is the commitment made by the Sri Lankan government to the United Nations Human Rights Council in regard to the repeal of the Prevention of Terrorism Law. These persons, sir, have been in custody for long periods of time, 10, 15, 20 years, which would mean that they've already been in custody for periods equivalent to that for which they would have been sentenced if they were sentenced shortly after they were taken into custody. It will be unjust to continue to keep these persons in custody. It cannot be disputed that these persons have engaged in certain activities for political reasons or purposes. These cases have a political dimension. It was the failure to evolve an acceptable resolution to the national question that resulted in these persons engaging in certain activities that constitute the offences that they are being charged with. It has a political dimension. It is not a purely legal issue. If it has a political dimension, different considerations must apply, particularly in the present context when reconciliation has become the key issue facing the country. It is imperative that the issue must be also addressed politically and not looked at as a purely legal issue. This issue not being addressed expeditiously is a serious impediment to reconciliation, where the accused persons and those sharing a commonality with them feel that they are being treated differently. During the JVP insurrections in the 1970s and 1980s, persons accused of grave offences were granted amnesty and freed. The gravity of the offences committed was about the same. There was a political dimension. That is why they were granted an amnesty. Accused persons want to know why they are being treated differently. This different treatment constitutes a serious impediment to reconciliation. The families of these persons in custody have been without the assistance of their breadwinners for long periods of time. They have undergone immense suffering, and that too is a serious impediment to reconciliation. An unnecessary complication has been added to the issue by three cases being transferred from Babunia to Anuradhapura. These cases have apparently been transferred to ensure the safety of witnesses. It is strongly submitted that the safety of witnesses could have been ensured without the cases being transferred. Consequently, the prisoners concerned are carrying out a fast, and the condition of their health has become a matter of concern. These are Tamil prisoners from the northeast who have a knowledge of Tamil only and do not have a knowledge of Sinhala. The language of the courts in Babunia is Tamil, while the language of the courts in Anuradhapura is Sinhala. As per the constitution, that is a position. Accused persons being Tamils without a knowledge of Sinhala are constitutionally entitled to have their cases heard in Tamil in a court where the language is Tamil, and their cases being transferred to Anuradhapura, where the language of the court is Sinhala, is a violation of their constitutional right. As accused persons, they should not be denied the right to fully comprehend the entirety of the case presented against him. Transfer of the cases to Anuradhapura, where the language of the court is Sinhala, denies them that right. By such transfer, they're also denied legal counsel of their choice. These factors are tantamount to a denial of justice. The prisoners concerned also ask that the decision to transfer their cases to Anuradhapura from Babunia be rescinded. And I do urge that all persons taken into custody under the Prevention of Terrorism Law be released. Mr. Speaker, before I conclude, I would like to say a few things. There is a strong feeling amongst the Tamil people that these prisoners who are in custody under the Prevention of Terrorism Law, and they are in custody because they have committed certain offences related to the resolution, related to the non-resolution of the national question. All these persons are being charged for various offences committed because there was a conflict in this country between the people who constitute the people of this country. They are not persons who are alleged to have committed offences for personal benefit. There was a political dimension to it. And when there was similarly an instance earlier on in the 1970s and 80s, when there were the JVP insurrections, which also had a political dimension, more economic than social or political, there was a political dimension. All of them were granted an amnesty, and they were freed. I observe the Minister for Law and Order is here. I believe he is the one going to answer this question. We do not want to confront the government, but we certainly want to impress upon the government that the time has come for you to seriously address this question. It is not sufficient to say there are no political prisoners. This issue has a political dimension. All these persons are in custody, all these persons have been charged, and all these persons continue to be in custody because they have committed certain offences consequent to there being a conflict in this country in regard to the nature of governance, in regard to the structure of governance. That's why they are in custody. So you can't deny that these persons are in custody in relation to offences which have a political dimension. And that makes it obligatory for you not to look at this as a purely legal issue. It is not merely an issue for the legal Attorney General's Department. It's an issue for the government to handle politically, to address politically. And these prisoners quite rightly say, if in the 1970s and the 1980s, when there were JVP insurrections and very serious crimes were committed, serious offences were committed, where there was a political dimension, they were given an amnesty and they were all freed. So I don't think, sir, the government should any longer look at this question in a manner that doesn't befit the seriousness of the question. I think the time has come for the government to address this question seriously, because the Tamil people, Tamil prisoners, and the Tamil people feel that the government is not addressing this issue seriously enough to come to the right conclusion. So we would appeal to the government. I appeal to the government on behalf of these prisoners. I met some of them, I met their families. Families are suffering. They have been in custody for 10, 15, 20 years. If they were sentenced shortly after they were taken into custody, they would have finished their sentence and come out by now. They're not able to do that. And in regard to the prisoners transferred from Babunia to Anuradhapura, you are denying them their constitutional right to have their case heard in Tamil, which is a provision that is provided for in the Constitution. And they have a right to have their case heard in Tamil. I mean, their case being transferred to Anuradhapura is not fair, is unjust, is unacceptable. And therefore, I think that order should be rescinded. I would earnestly look at the appeal to the government. I make this appeal especially before the ministry answers, to give this question very serious thought and kindly address the issue in a manner different from which the issue will be addressed hitherto. Thank you, sir.
Honourable Sumanthiran.
I thank you, Deputy Speaker, for the opportunity to second the adjournment motion moved by the Honourable Leader of the Opposition. Very quickly, so that we'll have the ministers enough time to respond. This issue was addressed by us as soon as there was a change of government, as soon as there was a change in the presidency in January 2015. There were meetings conducted in the parliament precincts by the Honourable Prime Minister. There were several meetings that we had with His Excellency the President, with the then Minister of Justice, the Attorney General, and several officials, consequent to which a certain number of detainees under the PTA were not released, but there was a way found for them to be released from incarceration, and that is for them to plead guilty, and lenient sentences were given, followed by a period of rehabilitation. But such number is only about 70 to 80, I believe. A greater number of them are still in custody, and their cases are still being dragged. There was a special court set up in Colombo. A special judge was appointed as a commissioner of High Court, and still the cases before that court are not concluded yet. Now, government might say that there are various reasons, might say that the Defence Council is obtaining dates. But the more important question, the political question that the Leader of the Opposition has moved in this motion, has not been addressed. Why are Tamil prisoners who are said to have indulged in crimes motivated by political objectives still being pursued under the law, when such Sinhala prisoners in the early 70s and the late 80s were released once those agitations came to an end? No legal proceedings were pursued. And that is an important political question that the Tamil people are asking today. Is it, and it begs the question, is it because these are Tamil prisoners that you are still pursuing, and you are being legalistic, even insisting upon the Attorney General's right to transfer the case from one court to another, from one judicial zone to another? But significant is the fact that in the first judicial zone, the proceedings are in Tamil, and there are attorneys who, by the choice of those prisoners, can represent them. But in the other zone, they don't understand the language in which the proceedings are conducted, and they can't retain lawyers of their choice. Their legal rights are seriously being affected. Recently, I raised this issue with His Excellency the President in the presence of the Minister for Justice and the Deputy Minister for Justice. The Deputy Minister of Justice is here today. And at that meeting, a senior official of the Attorney General's Department stated an emblematic issue. He told the President that a particular lady who was accused of the attempted assassination of the former President Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumaratunga spent 17 and a half years in jail before being released for lack of evidence. There was no evidence against her at all. Yet for all, the case went on for 17 and a half long years, and at the end of which she was released. Now, That is emblematic of the problem that one faces under the Prevention of Terrorism Act, because there is no bail available. And most of the cases, Honorable Sushil Premajant has said this time and again, as a lawyer he knows, in the late 80s, he has appeared for many and accused under the PTA. Only piece of evidence there is a supposed confession of the accused. There is no other evidence. The police do not conduct investigations. And we all know, all of us know, how those confessions are extracted from these suspects.
Please wind up.
Two and a half years, almost 3 years after the change of regime, we are still discussing this. And naturally, our people have begun to question the bona fides of the government in respect of this matter. Thank you.
Honorable Yuheshwaran and Honorable Shivashakti Anandan requested, I don't know, we only have 5 minutes before minister starts. If anybody want, we can only give 5 minutes one of the members to speak up, if you want to, from TNA point of view. Then we conclude, yeah? Mr. Honorable, Minister want to, no, before that, then we can finish from him.
I'll go first.
You take the whole thing. So we have almost 25
Honorable
minutes for you.
Deputy Speaker,
yeah.
I'm going to take this twofold. One is about, one will be about the detainees, and what part of it I can cover, I will cover. And then I'll move on to the new legislation that we're trying to work out to replace the PTA. And I'll just give some details on the process of what has happened. First, let me take the detainees. On the 8th of January 2015, there were 108 suspects in custody under the PTA. Honorable Sumandiran referred to this. I'm trying not to confuse this, but of these 108, 40 have been granted bail. 11 are in remand, 27 have been released, 25 on the basis that you said have been sent into rehabilitation, and 4 have been passed guilty verdicts in their court hearings, and 1 has actually died of a heart attack while in prison custody. So that constitutes those 108. But some progress did take place. The issue arises with those having, the AG having instituted legal action, and there are being proceedings in the High Court. Wherever possible, they were sent into rehabilitation, and wherever possible, they were released. But the other cases are fairly serious. And in some of these cases, Deputy Speaker, sir, we find that the defense lawyers are not doing their bit as well. There was one occasion when the Solicitor General, Mr. Suhada Gamlat, he called up all the defense lawyers and said, let you do your bit also to work through these cases. So I know we've been discussing, but let's have another chat about it outside sometime and see how we speed these High Court cases up. There's 74 of them remaining at the moment. The breakdown of those by the year of arrest is 1997, there's 2, 2005, there's 2, 2006, there's 7, 2007, there's 2, 2008, there's 14, 2009, there's 23, 2010, there's 5, 11, there's 7, and 12, there's 4, 14, there's 3, 15, there's 4, and 16, there's 1. The break. They're probably, I agree. They're probably, I take your point. But it's in the court process. Of them, 7 are Sinhala, 63 are Tamil, and 4 are Muslim. So it's not all, the terrorism is not only targeting Tamil or anything there. There are 18 cases that are pending action by the Attorney General. So we're working with the AG to institute action there as fast as possible. But then now the Honourable Leader of the Opposition also spoke of moving some of these cases from Vavuniya to Anuradhapura and the effects it's having. Actually, this, I believe, was done in very good faith. It may not be working out, but the reason was to have two special courts, one in Colombo and one in Anuradhapura, to hear through only the PTA cases and expedite these. If there's a problem with that, let's discuss it. It's a little, we'll wait for the Justice Minister to return, and we will discuss it with her as well as the Minister of Prisons and Prison Reforms. And let's work out the way forward on these cases so that we get the 74 cases heard quick. No, not a problem.
Point that I have made and I have repeatedly made is that you yourself admit that the prevention of terrorism law is an obnoxious law and it must be repealed.
I'm coming to
that. It's a commitment you have made to the United Nations Human Rights Council.
I told you my response.
All these persons have been arrested under that law. They have been investigated under that law. Confessions have been extracted under that law. They have been charged under that law. Proceedings have been conducted in court under that law. And they have been convicted under that law. This is a law which you admit is obnoxious, draconian, and must be repealed. How on earth can persons be continue to be held in custody under the prevention of terrorism law? You say the law is bad. The law is not a law that ensures justice being done. On the contrary, it's a law that ensures that injustice is done by accused persons. Then you must release those persons. And the question we raise further is, you will not dispute the fact that in every one of these cases, the accused person is being charged with an offence that he has committed for political reasons, not for personal benefit. Largely because the national issue had not been addressed and resolved in an acceptable way. If there is a political dimension, it must be looked at politically. In the 1970s, in the 1980s,
Mr. Deputy Speaker, I'd like to continue.
During the JVP insurrection, because there was a political dimension. Why don't you look at it in that way?
Okay.
Giving us numbers in regard to persons in custody is not helpful. You must look at it from the point of view of one.
Honourable
Minister, prevention of terrorism law being repealed, and consequently, all steps taken under that law must be regarded as invalid.
He's answering that separately now.
Political dimension must be addressed.
Okay.
It's a political issue.
Microphone.
We are becoming unpopular amongst our people.
Honourable Minister, you can
because our people feel that we are not standing up for them, that we are not impressing upon the government, that the government must act in this matter. Therefore, we want a decision in regard to this matter at the earliest. In the course of the next 1 week or 10 days, there must be a decision made. And
sir,
it must
I
be a decision made on the basis
you,
that there is a political
direction
and the prevention of terrorism law is bad. Everything done under that law is bad.
You must listen to me, sir, because
you can make your submission.
You.
Yes.
And I told you at the beginning, my answer is going to be twofold. One is about the detainees, two is what we are going to do with the new law. But if you go through the 74 cases, I don't think you or I can take a decision on these cases because these all have to do with assassination attempts or somebody, there's people have died at the end of this. There have been, so there are seven, I can table this. These 74 cases. These are not cases that I can hear a case on. But we are trying to work through this and towards bringing in, the PTA was brought in at a time that the LTTE crisis was at a height. Now times have changed. Terrorism has changed. The threats on Sri Lanka have moved with times and we are looking at the current day threats. So in that context, we started looking at a new law. And the Prime Minister appointed a committee. I chaired most of those meetings. And we started drafting what was called the Counter-Terrorism Act. Along with that, we want to follow it up with another further act called the Organized Crimes Act that will handle matters that are outside of terrorism, that are related to organized crimes, and maybe a further act will come in to handle drugs and narcotics. But as far as the Counter-Terrorism Act, we did a draft concept, went to Cabinet, Cabinet approved it for it to come into the Oversight Committee. The Oversight Committee gave its views, came back to the committee. Committee met with various resource personnel, international organizations, the UN, the Counterterrorism Executive Directorate, the EU, various people gave us their comments. We had local discussions. And we reworked the framework, went back to Cabinet, and the Cabinet approved for it to go in for drafting to the legal draftsman. The legal draftsman has started work on it. But however, the draft CTA concept still requires a little more work. I've been waiting to talk to a few more stakeholders in it. Some of them were overseas. We were waiting for them to come back. Some areas require simpler, clearer language. There are some sections that will not meet everyone's liking. Some will say the safeguards are excessive, and some will say they are inadequate. There will always be two sides to a story. But I want to assure this House, the government is striving to produce an act that will safeguard national security, taking into account the current threats of terrorism and current international standards. We will work this out, go back to Cabinet, and with Cabinet approval, complete the drafting process with the legal draftsman. And we hope to bring this to this House as a bill by early next year, at which time we can discuss it in the House as well. And it'll be open to debate, and amendments can be moved during the discussions then. But let me assure you that we are doing this not because of any international pressure or anything, but it is a right. We have to do it for the people of this country, whichever corner of the country they may come from, and to safeguard them from terrorism. Terrorism, at the moment, the threat of terrorism is not the threat of terrorism we had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30. Sir, may I please finish? I'm not allowing time. I want to finish, after which you may speak. But so on that basis, the new Counter-Terrorism Act will be worked out and will be presented in this House. I'm sure the Deputy Minister of Justice will reply to the Honourable Sambandhan's concern about transferring some of the cases from Vaunia to Anuradhapura. Honestly, this was done in good faith. It was done so that these proceedings could be heard continuously, so that these 74 cases are finished quickly. It's not only in Vaunia, there's another court in Colombo. But if there are issues with that, I'm sure we can discuss that. The Deputy Minister of Justice is here. He'll be happy to answer anything. But to be honest, we are working on this. And we want you to also work through this with us. We understand your problems, your tremendous respect for your concerns and for you, sir. But we have to work through this. There are all sides to this which have to be ironed out.
ගරු නියෝජ්‍යමත්තුමා මේ උතුමාට අදහසක් ඉදිරිපත් කරන්න පුළුවන් අර මේ අනුරාධපුරට ගෙනපු නඩු පිළිබඳව යම්කිසි අසාධාරණයක් එයාට එනවා කියන නිසා ඒක විශේෂයෙන්ම භාෂා ප්‍රශ්නයක් මත
it's about the protection of the witnesses actually but we can work on it so on the request to the attorney general on the request to the attorney general
No, certainly we have to go with the practical issues also, and we will work on it. And on the request of the Attorney General, the decision had been made, so we can actually work on this and discuss this.
Why don't we together with the AG and the Minister of Justice and work it out? Okay.
The
yes, definitely. Okay.
What the Honourable Sampandhan is saying, when the cases are heard in Sinhala language, because this is not a dedicated court for this particular matter, so there is obviously a language situation which government is very serious about. So this can discuss again, no, Honourable Minister?
I think his point is well taken.
Yes.
But I still believe we did it in good faith. Let's sort it out by, we'll have a discussion on Thursday. We'll meet on Thursday. We'll meet on Thursday.
Yeah. So, Honourable Minister can facilitate an immediate meeting with the Justice Ministry if the Minister is not available, Deputy Minister and the staff, because it's the Justice Ministry's matter more than Honourable. Yes. So, we will
have
invite
the meeting in Parliament on Thursday.
That concludes the Honourable Swaminathan, you want to add something up to this? We have a few minutes for you.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity of speaking. I think the Honourable Minister of Law and Order has made it very clear. I have also, in my personal manner, although it does not come in my ambit as a prisons minister, I have discussed this many times with the Attorney General's Department about these issues that have been taken up. And as the Honourable Minister had very clearly said, there are 74 indictments that have been charged today, and those indictments are being heard at most expeditiously as far as the courts are concerned. And even I was assured that even the postponements are not more than 2 weeks from the date of, from one date to hear the case. As far as the transfer of these courts, in fact, I took this up also with the Attorney General unofficially, and he's under the impression that if there is any matter that, as far as the language is concerned, they are willing to give proper translators to expeditiously help the businesses. Anyway, this is what the Attorney General's Department have said. Excuse me. So I have no objection. Did I say that you can't discuss the matter? I never said that. Just don't barge into that. I only said what the Attorney General's Department mentioned to me. Yes. So I'm only mentioning, sir, let me speak to you. Right. Anyway, sir, right, as far as the political prisoners are concerned, okay, thank you. As far as the political prisoners are concerned, there is one issue which I am in charge of the prisons.
Yes.
And I keep every day checking with the doctors of the area, and they say they are being treated. When the people are weak, they have been taken to the hospital, they're given saline, and presently, even after 21 days of hunger strike, they are health is not in any way to be concerned. And they are under total care with the prison officers, and they have also been kept in such a way that there is no any threat or any issues as far as their life is concerned. So these are the few things that I have to mention. And as far as my ministry is concerned, we have taken the steps. Pardon? So that is not within my purview, sir, I'm sorry. But I can only respectfully speak on behalf of the prisoners.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Gentlemen, Garu Mantuvarne, the Parliament, Vivade Sampurmitin now. The Parliament is adjourned till on Thursday, the 19th, 10:30 in the morning.